London's LBC 97.3. 0870-9090-973.
Nick Abbott.
So, last one. So let's make it super duper, eh? 0870-9090-973. I'm Nick Abbott, in for Caroline Faraday, who's coming back next week. I was speaking to somebody in... I was lucky enough to get through all of the bazillion buttons he had to press to get through to somebody who works for a bank. And you know, they've started farming out the call centres. A lot of them have farmed out to India, which, I don't know, I mean, it just seems cheap to me. Oh, here comes the O. Oh! You know, India, right, I can understand you making your products in China because of, you know, it's cheaper over there, but actually having your call centre in a country where English isn't the first language just seems flat out cheap to me. Hey. And, I don't know, it's very distracting, that song. I love it. Liberace. How can you not like Liberace, eh? That's what they say at the News of the World. Friend of the gays. Oh, they're probably having a little pink party over there now, celebrating the success of Brokeback Mountain, which swept all in the BAFTAs. Hands up, who cares about the BAFTAs? Anybody? Including the people who won? Hollywood stars being dragged, kicking and screaming. They probably had to apply chloroform to get them on the plane. London where? It's the what? What a nightmare it must be to only earn £10 million a movie and then have to go around awful places like the BAFTAs and... I mean, at least the Venice Film Festival, you get to be in Venice. None more stunning place on the face of this planet. Everybody should go. I'm serious. And not just for the day. You should go and live there for at least a week. It's incredible. Venetians will hate you because it's the most populated place for tourists in the whole wide world. You can't see Venice for tourists. At any one time, half of the pictures being taken on this planet are being taken in Venice. It's incredible. Everybody's got a photograph. I mean, a camera, and they're snapping constantly. Mostly because people just can't believe it. All of the pictures that you've seen of Venice, all of the photographs and the paintings, don't prepare you for the actual experience. I can remember, because you arrive on land, and you come to the square, which is the last part of it that you can drive up to on a bus or a car, and you get on a boat, a Vaporesso, their bus thing, and it's so far so ordinary, right? And then you turn the corner, and suddenly you're in a painting in the National Gallery. Suddenly it's Canaletto everywhere you look. And it's as though you've been propelled back in time by about 300 years. And I just burst out laughing. I couldn't believe it. Because I knew what to expect, but when it hits you in the face, it's just incredible. There's nowhere like it on the face of the planet. You really must go. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the BAFTAs. That's not what I was talking about. It was call centres. How did I get to Venice from call centres? That's not possible. So anyway, you press 10 million buttons on your telephone. If you'd like to speak to somebody about, you know, this, that and the other, and repetitive strain injury later, you actually get to speak to someone. And it just doesn't seem fair that they're in India. Because they don't know about your problems or most of the words that you're speaking. And when you do get through to someone, I mean, in your mind you're expecting to speak to someone in England, right? Because you've just dialed an English number. And then you get through to somebody in India and your heart sinks because you know you're going to have to speak really slowly. I mean, bless them, they're doing a fantastic job and some of their English is better than mine. But it just seems a bit cheap, doesn't it? Some call centres have been kept in-country, or at least in-nation. And some parts of the country are better for call centres than others. Some banks have really got it sussed. They've figured out which part of the country has the nicest accents, the accents that will make people Even if they're angry, because by the time you get through to someone in one of these places, you're angry, even if you weren't angry when you picked up the phone to begin with, because you just spent half an hour going, being asked impertinent questions by a computer, and having to stab away at the digits until, and it doesn't seem like you'll ever get there. None of the options actually offer you a human being until you've exhausted the buttons on your phone and your own temper, right? So by the time you actually get through to somebody, you can't stand it anymore, and you're in a fouler mood than you could possibly imagine. But some people's accents will calm you right down. And there, this was a little clip in the paper today, which had something to do with that. The newsreader Anna Ford and Sean Connery have topped a poll to find the sexiest voice in the country. Research among 1,000 adults by MSN Messenger showed that MSN Messenger, what, the thing where you type? Why would they ask people about which voices they find sexy? MSN, that's typing, isn't it? I don't know what the kids today are, I just don't get it. Because they're feverishly texting away with their phones and MSNing each other with their internet chat room things. And to me, that's typing. Now, if you sat them down and said, I'm going to invite you to type for the next half hour, you wouldn't see them for dust. They'd rather shave their head with a cheese grater. But if you give them three keys, each of which is one letter, they can't get enough of it. Typing is the new, I don't know, sex. Anyway, how did I get into that? Oh yeah, this. This survey showed that older people had the sexiest voices. Well, probably just because they're deeper. Young people squeak like mice, and the older you get, I don't know why it is, you probably just knacker your voice out. All your vocal cords die one after the other, and it's the sound of death. We find that sexy, somehow. Sounds perverted to me. Celtic accents were the most attractive, and that is, that's probably true, with maybe one exception. Southern Irish. There's just something about the lilt. Isn't it everyone always describes the Southern Irish as having a lilt, and the Celtic as having a burr. What those two words mean as standalones, I've got no idea. But there's always one is one, and the other is the other. The Scottish have the burr, and the Celtic have a lilt. And either way, it calms you down straight away. It's almost like someone coming along and stroking you like a cat. And so here's a tip. If you are a smart business person, you won't have your... have your call centre in India, because immediately you get connected to India, you feel bad about the company, for a start, because they're taking jobs out of this country, jobs that could perfectly well be done by our great unemployed. Hey, do you know how many unemployed people are in this country? Don't shake your head. You have to say it on the air.
Sorry, I'm not sure. Not too many, hopefully.
Not too many. Would you like to take a guess? First guess numbers, and then guess percentage.
In the country.
Well, think about that. We'll come back after the ad break and I'll talk about this, but I have to get this out first, right? Celtic accents were the most attractive. East Anglian, Mancunian and Scouse among the worst. No, there's one worse. Well, in fact, there's two worse. Glaswegian accents. Now, I love Glasgow. I spent a year, I grew up in Edinburgh, and I spent a month working in Glasgow just a little while ago, and I have tremendous affection for it. Never want to hear them speak again. Their accent is as bad as their dress sense. It's Shell Suit City. That's where shell suits go to die, on the backsides of Glaswegians. Is that an offensive thing to say? So you wouldn't have your call centre in Glasgow. No business that actually has a sentient human being running it with an IQ higher than a soap dish would put his call centre in Glasgow. You'd have to be off your chump. Worse than that, and a call centre that I was speaking to just this week, and I was about halfway through, I said, I don't mean to be offensive, but I can't understand what you're saying. This is a guy who speaks to customers for a living. They put the call centre in Northern Ireland. Is that a good idea?
No!
The Northern Irish accent, although I have great affection for their people, I've never met one, is like a dog trying to bite your face off. It's all ar 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 ar. A much bigger dog than that. Like, huge. That big. It's awful. I mean, it makes your ears bleed listening to it. This isn't controversial, is it? So don't have your call centres in Northern Ireland, or Glasgow, or Birmingham. And don't have them in India. Southern Ireland. There's probably huge amounts of unemployed people wandering around, looking for the crack, whatever that is. Give it to them. Hmm? It's just a tip. From LBC 97.3.
London's LBC 97.3. 0870-9090-973. Nick Abbott.
So we just have a small technical fault. I'm like a cancer in this building, aren't I? First I come in with the lurgy and lay waste to the staff. My voice went on Saturday last. It still hasn't quite come back. I don't normally sound quite this butch. Normally I sound like a girl. And then suddenly the people started falling over like dominoes in here. And they had a meeting. They decided to kill the incubator. And now, everything I touch in here blacks all the equipment out. We have touch screens. Oh, they're great when they work. They don't work for me. They hate me. In order to get people on the air, you have to touch a screen 3 times. I touch it once, and literally every screen that I'm looking at, and I'm surrounded by them. I'm in a not even Darth Vader's got a force field that's coming off this stuff in front of me. And I'm probably getting a tumour just being here. Oh, and you're shaking your head saying, no, you'll be fine. Nothing a bit of iodine won't cure. So anyway, now I've touched it, and a message has come up saying no ping response was received by the server from the... I don't know. It's Microsoft, eh? Bill Gates. Wouldn't you like to just walk up and throttle him? Just to slap him lightly about the chops for every, you know, sometimes you just want to pick these things up and throw them out the window, am I right? And he's sitting there in Seattle laughing at us. Anyway, let's go with Claire in Temple
Hi,
Fortune.
Good evening.
Hey, Claire.
I phoned up the other day and I was in Malaysia. I wanted to speak to my bank and I said, where am I? I said, Malaysia. And she said, could I have your date of birth? I said, no. I said, yeah, I can't understand what you're saying. You can't speak English properly.
What, she was saying that to you?
Or I said that to her.
Ah, right. With you now.
And she said, could I have your date of birth, please? I said, no. Could I have your postcode? I said, no.
What impertinence, eh?
What is it? And my bank is also cut down now. You know, you used to know the people at the till.
Oh, no. You're not one of these people that, when they got to the front of the till, wanted to have a conversation with
them,
are you?
I just want to know, have been served, and goodbye.
People behind you are eating their own feet with
frustration. No, actually, my bank, the people used to be very nice, so she told me on Friday.
You are one of those people, when they get to the front of the queue, wants to have a conversation. Like, suddenly it's all about, I'm a
pet parrot. Don't you like to talk to people at the till?
No, because people behind me want to get served.
Well, I want to know whatever I came there to have to be served.
Right. Yeah, but you go in there, you get served, and you leave. Don't have a conversation. Treat them like a robot.
Why? Why? They're not a robot. They're people working there. Why?
You remember that old hit, treat them like... It wasn't the Commodores or something? Treat them like
a robot.
Why should
we treat the people like you and me?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
What's that, sorry?
Okay, good night.
All you have to do is ignore them and, you know, and just get them to repeat stuff and then they'll leave. You don't even have to tell them to go. You just have to be, you just don't have to pay attention a lot. And then your dreams will come true. Can I have call number 10, please? It's Isleworth. Lee.
Hello, yes, I'm here.
How are you?
Very well, and you?
Yes, good, thanks.
Yeah, call centres in India and stuff. I've actually found them quite helpful.
No, I'm not saying that they're not helpful, and I did make the point that some of them speak better English than I do, but the feeling that I get when I get put through to India is that the company who's putting me through there is just cheap. I lose respect for the company that's done it. Because what's wrong with here?
Well, I tell you what's wrong with here. you get put through to some English little chav, you know, person who hasn't got a clue about etiquette, who hasn't got a clue about, you know, being polite or interaction with somebody, or how even to speak to somebody. I mean, these people are born in England.
Have you noticed, by the way, that there must have been a memo gone round at both supermarkets and banks and credit card companies to be more chummy? Because it seems to me, even just a month ago, you went to the supermarket and you wouldn't get acknowledged because, you know, the poor dear that's on
there. Most times you get put onto some kind of computer system.
Well,
I mean, if I get
wait a minute, I'm halfway through a sentence here. Talk about rudeness. You show up at a supermarket with your goods. Now, the poor dear is sitting there and they're sitting there all day. Bing, bing, bing. It's not a bing, is it? It's a doot. Even worse, like if it was a bing, at least that would be like organic, have some sort of meat to it. But it's a doot. Well, that'd drive you insane sitting there all day with a doot machine. And you know, right enough, they must be in a bad mood because the wind is howling through the door, and it's endless people who just want Tizer and cream cakes. But the memo must have gone around for them to say, "Hello, how are you?" And just to pass comment about your food, which I think is a bit much. And I think it must have been the same memo that's gone around banks and credit cards, because they're forever asking me if they can call me by my first name. Have you noticed that?
Me?
Yeah, Lee. Can I call you by your first name?
Yeah, of course you can. Well, that's not the point here. We were first of all talking about call centres in India. And whether they're helpful or not. And I was saying, I think they are helpful.
Right, we have to keep up. Now we're talking about supermarkets. You're lagging behind, Lee. It's like talking to somebody with jet lag. Where was I? I completely lost where I was now. Oh, blimey. He comes on, he starts laying down rules. It was supermarkets and the call centres, and then the... Oh, yeah, banks who call you up. People who call you up, and they sound like teenagers, and they want to talk to you about your credit card, and the first thing they ask is, can I call you Nick? And I'm thinking, well, I say yes, because I don't want to make an issue out of it, because he's sitting there with my bank details in front of him. And one slip of the finger, and suddenly I owe them £10 million. And you spend the rest of your life trying to get the problem fixed. But I don't want to be called Nick by somebody who's talking to me about my money. I want to be called Mr. Abbott. That's not too much to ask, is it? I mean, that's not stepping back in time to the 50s. It just seems like a step too far. Like, being chummy with the people at the supermarket, that's one thing, because it's nice and, you know, smiling. What's wrong with a little bit of politeness? But it's just too chummy. I want them to call me Mr. Abbott, and I'll call them... Well, they don't ever give their names, do they? Dave. You can call me Dave. Anyway, 0870-9090-973. Can I have a Louise on number 9, please?
Hello, Nick.
Other people to do my job for me because I'm incompetent. Hello, Louise.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right, thanks.
Cool. Right, I've got to agree with you. People that stand and talk in supermarket queues are annoying. And I have noticed that people have actually become a lot more chummier. And they're always like, oh, are you all right? Is there anything I can do for you? And like, how's your food? And it's like, that makes you paranoid. Because if you're buying food from somewhere, and they're saying, if there's anything on your food, let me know.
It's when you pick up something from the chemist racks that you actually don't want to be being dealt with by a human being. And so it's almost, you know, in some aspects of life, it's kind of nice if you're dealing with people and they don't... it's like it's hard to put this, or at least I'm having trouble putting it. Say you wanted... preparation H, for instance.
Right. Right.
You don't want it pinged by a person. You'd rather have it pinged by a machine, right? Or at least somebody who's not paying attention to whatever it is you're having, a passing comment on each and every thing.
Yeah.
And they stop short when the goods from the chemist come out the basket.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's in the supermarket, it's okay because you're dealing face to face with a human being. And have you noticed that it's just it hasn't been the case for a while. It's as though just recently memos have gone around at all the supermarkets. You must say hello and make eye contact and stop being so grumpy. Which must be a nightmare for those poor people who have to sit there. What a job, eh?
20 times a day. How are you?
In 10 years' time, we'll look back and think how ridiculous it was that we actually forced people to do that. Because there'll just be a gun that you pointed at your basket and it'll add it up instantly and deduct it from your bank account.
No one's going to complain about the human rights being infringed. They have to be nice all the time. They have a right to be grumpy.
Yeah, well, particularly these days, yeah. Otherwise, you'll be fined, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Or arrested at the very least.
Yeah, well, I agree with you about call centres as well. You know, you want somebody who's going to, like, know what they're talking about. You don't want somebody to be a friend. You want somebody who's going to get just sorted out for you.
Well, you know what, I almost, I kind of assume that they don't know what they're talking about wherever they come from.
Yeah.
It's just it doesn't speak well for the company, to me, that they farmed it out 4,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Just so that it's cheaper.
Save money. Yeah.
I mean, everything we buy is made in China. You kind of expect that. But it's not in your face. Chinese people aren't actually making it in your front room.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I think direct inquiries are stupid as well, being abroad. When you're asking for English phone numbers.
They're abroad, those people?
Yeah, some of them are.
Oh. I refuse to use them. Now that I will, I just
don't. They cost a bomb.
I just won't use them. I used them once when it first came out, and they had got no idea what I was talking about, and they charged me 50p for the service.
I either get an Indian woman or an angry Scottish man, so.
No, he's just a Glaswegian. He's not actually angry. He just sounds like that. All right, thanks a lot, Louise.
I don't see you, Nick.
Ta-ra, 0870-9090-973. I'm Nick Abbott, and for Caroline Faraday, who returns next week, so this is my last. Nick Abbott. Apparently, we've now fixed the problem with the screen. Every time that I want to talk to somebody on the air, I know this is not remotely interesting to anybody but me personally, but I've just got to get it off my chest. You have to touch this screen, touch the person. I'm touching every person that I speak to. I've metaphorically touched them. It's just that I wasn't touching them hard enough. If you bash the screen, it works. Violence and modern technology. Excellent bedfellows. Here's one in Woking. Hello, Nikki.
Hello there.
Nikki.
How are you?
I'm all right.
You made a comment about the Glaswegian accent.
The Glaswegian accent?
Yes, well, personally, I've had one all my life, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. In fact, I'm proud to be a Glaswegian.
Huh, okay.
Available on DAB, digital radio.
London's LBC 97.3. LBC
97.3.
0870-9090-973. Nick Abbott. Hey, I must admit that the news kind of surprised me, and if I don't stop speaking, then I just get cut off in mid-sentence, because you can't delay the news. And so I was talking to that nice lady from Glasgow, and I just had to stop speaking immediately, because I'd forgotten to look at the clock or where I was. I'm just a newbie. Please forgive me. Plus, my ears had started to bleed. No offence. I love Glasgow. It's such a great place. Shame it rains all the time. I spent a month there a couple of years ago. It rained every... No, 3 months. Was it a month or 3 months? 1 month. It rained every day. No, it was 3 months. Yeah, so January, February, March. Every single day, and I'm not exaggerating or making this up, in January, February, March, when I was living there a couple of years ago, it rained every day, bar two. Could you stand that? Nightmare. Anyway, let's go to St. Albans. Hello, Ricky.
Good evening.
Hey, Ricky, you're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Ricky.
Talking about Microsoft, Friday I spent over an hour talking to them in India to try and resolve a problem.
Did you try rebooting?
Yeah, I kicked it several times, but it didn't have any effect. Only a bruised toe. And it still wasn't resolved. They rang me back. I was on the phone for about another hour. It still wasn't resolved. So I turned the damn thing off, walked away and left it. Came back to it later the day. Later that day, and switched it on. And boom, hey presto, problem solved.
Turn it off and on again. Huh.
Yep.
Works every time. Apart from the times in which it doesn't.
So I hate to think how much that has cost.
Oh, because it's probably 50p a minute, isn't it? At least.
I think it was an 0870 number. I don't know what they charge on that.
Well, you'll find out.
I will.
They'll tell you as they turf you out your house.
Mm.
take your children away. As a down payment.
Yeah, I wish they would. I wish they had it done. Years away.
Right, well, in that case, if you want them to do that, it'll be very expensive.
Isn't everything these days?
Only the best things. A lot of things are cheap. And having said that, I'm just trying to think of one.
Cheap service?
Well, and the first thing that came to me was water, but that's incredibly expensive now, isn't it?
Oh,
it's actually raining outside. Can you believe it?
Yeah,
it hasn't rained for so long.
And it's raining all day, isn't
it? It seems... You look outside and it's raining and you almost don't know what to do. you can't go out in that. What is it?
You know this global warming business?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we needn't worry about frying in the sun because all the extra water that is going to be from the melted ice caps will flood everything anyway, so...
Did you see the, there was a couple of years ago, there was a programme that said, if we're screwed if we do, and we're screwed if we don't. Because after 9/11, they grounded all the planes in America. And so, planes producing much of the pollution that is causing the hole in the ozone, right? And so, much of that pollution had disappeared, and so the sun was coming through much more strongly. The consequence being that temperatures rose in America during that 1 week because of the lack of pollution that was sucking up the sunlight. So if we cure the pollution problem to stop the hole in the ozone layer, then there won't be enough smoke in the atmosphere to stop the sun coming through. So if we cure the pollution, then we're going to be fried alive. And if we don't cure the pollution, then we're all going to be underwater.
And the government will probably bring in compulsory euthanasia for those over 50 by that time.
Well, and part of me thinks, you know, these are incredibly exciting and slightly crazy times. Probably the most exciting and crazy times that there have ever been in the history of this planet.
Oh, couldn't agree more.
But I'm kind of glad that I'm 46 and not 16. Because if I was 16, looking down the barrel of our future... I would feel a bit short-changed, really. I mean, if you're, if it happens in 20 years' time, and I'll be 66, then, I won't be able to tread water that long, and the misery won't last. But if I'm only 36, you'd expect me to, do the backstroke for at least a couple of years, waiting for that man, what's his name, from Waterworld, to sail by on a raft. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, another one you mean.
Because that's what it's going to look like. It'll be water everywhere and nary a drop to drink.
Well, I reckon that's what the next war will be over.
Water?
Yeah, it won't be oil.
Yeah, you could,
won't be any oil left.
Could quite possibly be right, yeah.
Especially clean drinking water.
Because when you do look to the future, and I don't want to get bogged down in this, because it's not a happy thought. It's kind of like it was in the times... when the government was releasing those things that said, paint your windows white and duck under the kitchen table in case of nuclear war, people foresaw a very black and short-lived future, didn't they? And then, after 10 or 20 years' time, we look back and thought, oh, how silly we all were, worrying about nothing. And I think we kind of are getting into that frame of mind now. We're all clutching our heads and giving it the, oh, woe is us.
You mentioning that about the
the government, when they was issuing orders to paint your windows white, protect and survive, you want to see what the provisions that they had made over the years for themselves.
Oh, themselves, yeah. No expense spared, yes.
Definitely not. I've been to several of their places and, my God, absolutely amazing.
Well, you better not say any more or someone will march you into the middle of the field.
No, they're off their secrets list. One of them is quite an open museum now, which you can walk through and, be entertained and filled in about all the gory details.
Entertained? Gory details? Sounds like, some sort of S&M lounge. Wasn't that place up Tottenham Court Road, was it?
Oh, Eisenhower's bunker under Goose Street.
You know what? I'm learning things with every minute that passes. Eisenhower had a bunker under Goose Street?
Yeah, there was about 5,000 crack US Marine troops stationed there during the Second World War. Beneath Goose Street Station, there is another line that was built but never finished. I think there's two tunnels, and about 16 feet across, and they were turned into dormitories. They're still there now. Not the
crack troops? They'll be furious when they get out and find the war's over.
Yeah, they certainly would. But the tunnels are still there, and they use them now for secure storage.
Hmm.
It's just one of many on the Northern Line. But I was more referring to the ones out in the, should we say, the home counties. There's a particular one near Kelvedon Hatch.
And how do you know all this, Ricky?
Oh, just by, you know, nosing around.
I'd be very careful if I were you. Wear a flak jacket. Will you do that for me?
I will indeed.
duck and weave. Don't ever walk in a straight line, all right?
I can't anyway.
Yeah, well, the medical problems that, you know, befall us when we get older sometimes are the ones that will keep us alive.
Indeed.
Thanks a lot, Ricky.
Yes, good night to you.
Ta-ta. Never wear one of those old WHO shirts with a target on it, because then you will be asking for it. It's 0870 90 90 973. How many unemployed do you think there are in the country?
About five.
Oh, come on. Seriously. The percentage? Five?
5 million,
oh,
sorry.
Five million.
Oh, sorry, not five solo.
Five. There's five unemployed people in this building right now.
Sorry, I missed that question.
What percentage of the workforce do you think is unemployed in this country right now?
Three percent?
3%. That's an excellent guess. 25%.
Oh.
You believe that?
That's very shocking.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
This was in the paper the other day. New Labour's record on jobs has been slammed after... it's always slammed, isn't it? Not criticised lightly, it's slammed. Slammed after data showed a sharp rise in unemployment and a record number of long-term jobless. Almost 9.5 million people. Yikes. That's stunning, because I thought that the unemployment level was about sort of 3%, and you always needed about 3% in order to have like a constant pool of ready prospective employees for people like Alan Sugar to choose from, right? Is he back in that silly show again? You're fired. Does everything have to be a copy of something else that's happened on commercial television, either here or in America? Does anyone actually have a fresh idea anymore? Because it's a copy of that bloke with the comical hair. Comical hair in the building. Trump. Was married to Ivana. Mr. Trump, whatever his name is. Imagine your name would be Trump. No wonder he went out and made £1 billion so that no one would take the mickey anymore. Or he could surround himself with people to keep mickey takers away. What's his name? Donald. There's another comical name. Donald Trump. I mean, just roll that around in your brain for a while. Being given a name like that by your parents would make you want to go out and be successful, wouldn't it? Talk about getting your own back at the world. Donald Trump. Good grief. Anyway, he was the one that came up with that You're Fired game. And now Alan Sugar. With a man whose face could sink 1,000 ships. He has a face that looks more like a potato than that guy's on Have I Got News For You. That squeaky, irritating bloke with a classical education. Looks like Jimmy Somerville.
Ian Hislop?
Ian Hislop, mm. Yeah. Ian Hislop and Alan Sugar. There's a match made in hell.
You're fired.
Hey, where did that come from? I am fired, actually, in about 2 1/4 hours. Caroline Faraday is... The reason I'm here is that Caroline Faraday has been sitting at home smoking a cigar and having a cocktail. I think she wanted to watch the Winter Olympics or something like that. She's thrilled beyond measure. We've lost again. Have we lost any other events lately? A glorious success by coming second. I love the way they paint losing as a huge success. We're just above, in the medals table, Nigeria at the moment, I think, with a great ski team. They practice on sand. Anyway, almost can you believe? This is incredible. 25% of the people that can work can't in this country. In this country. Isn't that amazing? Business groups urge the government to overhaul its welfare to work programs, blah, blah, blah. It's 1 in 4. I've already worked that out for the people who've just taken the A-level maths. 25%. You don't need to reboot your computer to figure that one out.
London's LBC 97.3.
0870 90 90 973. Nick Abbott. Let's go with Battersea. Hello, Alex.
Hey, good evening, Nick. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
Good, good, good. What it was, when you mentioned that banks and... supermarkets? We're being a lot more chummy these days.
It seems to me, yeah. Like, all of a sudden, everyone's asking how you are.
Yeah, you're right, and that really struck a chord with me. Basically, my parents have lived in the States for quite a few years, and I've always been more impressed with the customer service you get in the States than over here. You know, if you go into a DIY store or something here and you get a checkout, you're lucky if you can get eye contact, let alone a smile and a happy hello.
Yes.
But on my last visit over Christmas, I realised they were taking it a little bit too far. When it's got to the point that you can't even buy a loaf of bread without getting the life story of the person behind the counter. What happened was we were going into a sort of hardware store to buy some...
hardware?
Plastic moulding. Yeah, some hardware, in fact, yeah. For a shower. So basically 2 8-foot lengths of plastic moulding, $12 worth. And so we had it all, they brought it out from the back, and my dad and the guy serving us started chatting about sort of how to, how best to fit this moulding. And then it went from that into a really, you know, in-depth discussion of bit of politics, bit of how's your family. I kid you not.
While right there, I thought you were going to say, how's your father? Which I guess is one and the same thing, unless you're thinking what I'm thinking.
Honestly, Nick, after 10 minutes, I left and went and stood by the car. And after another 5 or 10 minutes, my dad finally got out. 15 minutes of chatting away. I mean, you know,
Now, was the person a male or female?
Oh, he was male.
He was male, right,
he
okay.
He was male.
Just checking.
I mean, it was a small little store, you know, 2 or 3 people. It was a glazier's, and this was the guy that owned it. So.
And did it look like anybody actually came in there, was it frequented frequently?
It didn't look like they had a lot of drop-ins.
So, even men have to say a certain amount of words. I mean, women, I can't remember what the exact figure was. I said this the other day, and it is a truism. Women need something like 500 words to come out of their mouths a day. Otherwise, their eyeballs pop out the front of their heads. Men, I think it's about 1,000. I might have that completely wrong, but women need to say way more per day than men do. Otherwise, they're off kilter, and they're not satisfied.
Women, it's 5,000, is it?
Something like that.
Right.
Or 50,000, or 150,000, or whatever it is. But anyway, women need to say a lot more. They're not just chatty, it's a driven need to speak. I think it goes back to the cave times, when men were out hunting in groups, and speaking would frighten the animals that they were hunting away. And so they communicated with, grunts and pointing. Women, on the other hand, were, you know, busy socialising and raising babies and, you know, swapping nail varnish tips or what.
Did you go to college, Nick?
Yes.
If you don't mind me asking. So the classic, you know, weekly telephone call home to the family. You know, your dad picks up the phone. How you doing?
So, says, yeah, here's your mother.
You're all right. You know, I'll put your mum on.
Yes, exactly.
It is classic. But, I mean, women... But also, sorry, I'll put my teeth in. When women have a problem and they want to talk to you about a problem, men will offer a solution, which is what women don't want. They just want to be... They want to get it off their chest and for someone to listen to them and make sympathetic noises. And basically say to them, yeah, it's all right for you to be annoyed and it's okay to feel like this. Whereas, you know, a man wants someone to say, okay, this is what you do to solve the problem, which is...
And can you shut up? I'm watching the football.
Oh, sorry, Nick.
No, not you.
I know, I'm joking. Not a very good one. I tell you what, I've got a great email the other day from a friend with a PowerPoint presentation explaining men's rules for women. Do you want me to email that over to you?
Why don't you? Yes, I'll not read it later. I mean, I'll read it later. What's our, Now, see, somebody's put a great big sign over that says, what's that?
It's on air at lbc.co.uk.
Right. Somebody's covered it up in here. I think they're trying to, fox the newbies. Mm-hmm. On air at...
lbc.co.uk.
Did you get that, Alex?
Indeed I did. O-N-A-I-R. I'll tell you what I'll do. I will go through the presentation and pull out the rules and then type them into the body of the email.
I literally can wait. All right. You'll be on to a call centre in India before you know it. Ask them how you do it.
Well, I mean, you might actually find that it's entertaining enough to mention on air or something like that.
Well, let's see. No promises, eh?
You never know. You know.
Hey, do you want to play the game?
I've heard this game being played. I don't know the rules. So yeah, go on then.
The rules are: I will buy you anything you want if you get the all. What is it? Six, eight. There's eight of them. If you get all eight, I'll buy you anything you want.
Ah, right. It's people saying them. Okay, go
with,
for it.
With my money.
Sure thing.
Isn't that incredible?
What do I have to buy you if you? If
nothing.
Well, bargain.
Conditions apply. The presenter's decision is final, and no communication will be entered into. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm not cheating about these. These are super famous household names, most of them on television almost every day. Number one. That was all one bloke. Who's that? One of the most famous people on the planet. I think he's in
George
London.
Clooney, is it?
He's on. George Clooney is the right answer.
Get in.
I'm number two.
Blimey.
About to be hugely powerful. I'd bet my lunch on it.
Does that mean he's a politician?
Might do.
Okay. About to be... would be David Cameron.
Is the right answer. Now, I think that's the easiest one of the bunch.
Definitely. I think that's it. Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson.
Oh.
Now, that's quite tricky, unless you know who it is. In which case, it's easy. Now this bloke's on television almost every day. I find him deeply irritating. He probably carries two mirrors around just so he can see what he looks like from behind.
He's
I know, isn't he?
He's not George Galloway's favourite person, is he?
Go on.
Got to be Jeremy Paxman.
Jeremy Paxman. Wow. This is sensational.
Okay.
So far, you've got correct all the answers that we've previously revealed on this show.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Right.
I was actually going to admit that if you thought I was doing well, but...
And now we come to the point at which no human has gone before.
which is probably where I'll fail.
He makes me laugh every time. He's going to be an author, you know.
Oh, he's going to be an author?
Isn't that amazing?
He sounds like he could be a football manager. Jose Mourinho.
Jose Mourinho. No, but thanks for playing. This is LBC.
Nick Abbott.
Let's go straight back into it. Hey, Nolt. Veronica.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
Oh, I think my eyes are going to explode. I only said 300 words today.
Well, you're saying the words that are coming out of your mouth are coming out very quickly, as though like you've got a head of steam bubbling in the back of your brain.
No, the reason I was phoning is I thought Alan Sugar did The Apprentice before Donald Trump.
No, because Donald Trump has been doing it for years in America.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Aware of that.
But
I thought he did it first. Oh, that's a shame.
I think anything that Donald Trump did, Alan Sugar did first, was the, didn't he do the telephone that sends an email? Promptly no one bought?
No. I don't even know why he's famous, to be honest with you.
Now, are you saying, you don't know the reason that he's famous, or
no.
You just can't figure out how that man has become famous?
I know he's an entrepreneur, but I don't know what he did, what his aunt was.
It was about computing power, wasn't it? Didn't he invent the cheap desktop computer, or not invent exactly, but popularise, with the Amstrad, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah. I think that was him.
Oh, and that's all he did?
Well,
well, no, but has he done anything after that, or is he just kind of living off the money that he made from doing that?
You know what? I've got no idea. But all you have to do is get one good idea, or even just one good song, and you need never do anything else for the rest of your life.
No, this is true, but then why would he need an apprentice now, if he's not doing anything now, if he's using the money that he made from the Amstrad?
You know what? There's some people who are on television that I just don't... I can't figure it out. Like, Noel Edmonds is one. I mean, I guess... Well, you know what? I actually do. I can understand why people like him. I don't choose to watch his programmes myself, but I don't have anything against him. I think he is a very good presenter, both on radio and on television. He's, you know, eminently watchable, obviously, because that show that he presents, there's nothing to it. It's all about him. That's why it's so successful. It's him. Because it's a stupid show. The show itself could be over...
Millionaire,
see, this woman, she does have a head of steam with the words coming out of her mouth.
I know.
Can't control herself.
I need to get my 300 words out before I go to bed, because I don't want to have to change sheets. No, it's only like Millionaire, though, isn't it? It's just kind of bringing up the...
No, it's not like Millionaire. Millionaire is an excellent program, because you can play along at home. That stupid program that he's doing, there's nothing to it. That program could be over in 10 seconds. Here's your box. How much have you won? So it's all about him. He's the one that's making that show. But I don't get why he's doing it. You know, if you're on television, if you're on TV, your life is not your own anymore. Wherever you go, people are pointing and either bothering you because they like you, or, more likely, bothering you because they hate you. Because in this country, as previously mentioned, it's a truism, we hate success. And so people will either want to take your time up and tell you their life story because you've been on TV, which is basically you're in their front room, or they want to punch your lights out because of, well, what, just some random reason that they've taken to not liking you. So I don't get why, first of all, I don't get why people want to be on television if they're already successful. If you've got a gigantic amount of money behind you, then why bother? Why does Noel Edmonds, who must have 1,000 bedrooms to choose from and 10 cars in the garage, if I was as rich as him, I wouldn't get up in the morning. I would never get up. I'd have bed baths and people would come in to turn me every now and again.
Available on DAB Digital Radio. London, LBC 97.3.